The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States
heavyweight. Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
contenders. How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know...
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the WrestleCast. This is episode 119. I'm Sammy Kalunga, joined as always by the sensational Didi Jeanne.
Hey, friends.
And also the Don of the WrestleCast, Mr. Don DeLaurenti.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome, all you ham and eggers, to the WrestleCast.
So, like, yesterday it was hot out here. Today it's cold. Tomorrow it's going to be even colder. What's it like in your neck of the woods?
Same, sir. Global warming is real.
Right? Yeah, I was looking at one of those like WikiHows on like how to do a podcast. It says like one of the things to mention to break the ice is the weather.
Oh, stop.
I just thought that was hilarious. I found that funny. So now that we've broken the ice, we have a lot of things to cover. No real news to talk about. Just like the whole Lucha Underground will be on Netflix, so you can get your Katrina on, your Pentagon Jr. on the Netflix now. Are y'all excited about this?
It's
so, people can actually watch it now.
Yeah.
I already had it, but it wasn't in my on demand. So if I missed it, I just missed it. So this is good for me.
Right. And finally, I can see it in HD because like the LRA network we get here is not in HD. It's just a standard.
Oh, I didn't get HD, so nothing I watch is in HD.
Oh, you're getting so cheated, sir.
I know, because I actually did see like I actually downloaded a 1080p torrent of it, and I'm like, man, this is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
But then again, like in standard, it kind of gives you that grimy underground feel, though. So that was one thing about having it in standard.
I wouldn't know that was a problem, sir.
Yeah. It's not a problem. I mean, it's actually pretty cool.
Man,
but like,
it's not 1993 anymore. I don't want to see anything in standard definition. I go back and watch and see some of that stuff like on YouTube that hasn't been converted. And it's amazing that we all aren't blind from growing up watching TV like that.
Well, the way they had it formatted was like in a weird square box. So, like, you go back and you watch old Raws now, and you're like, how did we watch TV like this? It's so weird. All right, so, yeah, so that's pretty much the only news we have. And it's just, like, season one and season two. Like, it's still, the show hasn't been sold, and it's still going to pop up on old El Rey, even though they already ditched most of their programming already. They got rid of they finally canceled their show, the Vampire Show.
What?
Dust to Dawn? Yeah, they canceled
that. Yeah, as long as they have the Kung Fu movie block, as long as that stays up, though, I think they can make it. With that and Lucha Underground, they should be okay.
Reruns of Miami Vice will be on there as well. All right. So Lucha Underground on Netflix. Tell all your loved ones that they can now watch like some really awesome stuff on there. And there is another bit of news, but that won't come till later on today. For right now, we are going to cover the NXT event from San Antonio, and Don and Dini can handle that. I'll be over here in the cut.
Thank you, sir. As Sam said, we had NXT take over San Antonio. Started off with Ty Dillinger versus Eric Young. Big Damo and Wolf are on the outside, of course, causing a distraction. Ty finally gets fed up with them, gives them a baseball slide. Dillinger scans the cat to get back in the ring. Then Eric Young catches him in the wheelbarrow neckbreaker, gets the pin. Real good opening match. You know, the crowd was really behind Ty Dillinger in his entrance, just behind him in general. So good things for Ty Dillinger. Definitely good things for Eric Young, too. It was a really good match. They definitely were a good choice to open the show. Then we got Cian Almas versus Roderick Strong. For some people, this was actually the match of the night. These two guys really didn't have any expectations coming into it, but they really put on a great show. Cian Almas, I think, may actually be finding his stride, getting comfortable with the in-ring part of his character now. But Roderick Strong gets the hard-fought victory after hitting Almas with the sick kick. And he basically declares that, you know, the people don't know Roderick Strong, so he's going to make sure that everybody knows him, and it's Roddy against the world. Then we get into our title matches. We have DIY versus the Authors of Pain for the NXT Tag Team titles. The Authors of Pain hit Ciampa with the final chapter to become the new NXT Tag Team Champions.
I actually like this one. This is okay.
Yeah, this was my match of the night because I didn't expect the Authors of Pain to look as good as they did. DIY got a tremendous match out of them. I was watching the Samoan SWAT team a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, yeah, maybe that's what the Authors of Pain should maybe be trying to go for, more of that type of violence than the Road Warriors. So for DIY to kind of bring that match out of them, I was very impressed with them. So I really liked that match. Then we kind of are back at the announce table with Corey Graves and Percy Watson, and they're kind of going over the aftermath of the match. And all of a sudden, they show somebody jumping in the ring. It looks like a fan in a hoodie. And he grabs the microphone, and he starts talking, and it's Seth Rollins. He shows up out of nowhere. He says, hey, the show's called TakeOver, right? So I'm here to take this shit over. And he calls out Triple H, and he tells him that he's been looking for him. And since, you know, he doesn't want to come out to Raw where he's been at, then he had to come to where he knew where Triple H would be at. So he's here and basically calls him out. Triple H comes out from the back. He stands up there, looks at Seth Rollins for about 10 seconds, then motions for security to come handle his light work. Seth beats down about three guards, and they start to fight up the ramp towards Triple H. And then six more guys come out to stop him, and they finally clear him out of the arena. Yeah, this was super dope. This did more for Seth Rollins in like one little 7-minute stretch than the whole last 5 months on Raw with him being a babyface. I think everybody will say this was probably the most memorable thing that came out of this takeover, was just Seth Rollins coming out of nowhere to call out Triple H. Just unexpected. So good twist by NXT, and good thinking of trying to, you know, intermix the brands right there.
Hey, Triple H was at Linda McMahon's confirmation hearing. It would have been a great time for Seth Rollins to pop in.
All right. We move on to our women's NXT title match. It was a four-way. It was Nikki Cross, Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, and Asuka.
Real quick, I'm gonna mean that, like, I think it's been in everyone's mind. If Billy Kay and Peyton Royce didn't care about who won, why didn't they just pin each other?
Right. That was probably the logic that they probably should have used in this match.
They should have at least tried at least once and have someone.
At least once, right. Yeah, but they didn't. But they played it more straight up, so, you know, you can't be mad at that, though. They didn't pull a Kevin Nash. Pretty cool spots here in this match. You know, Peyton Royce and Billy were kind of working like a tag team match. You know, they did a lot of double teaming to Asuka and Nikki Cross. They did one spot where they kind of suplex by like a jackhammer type thing off of the announce table onto another table to basically incapacitate Nikki Cross, and then they kind of focused on Asuka. But she prevailed after she hit a spinning sidekick to the head of Peyton Royce and got the pin. And then we moved on to our main event. But first, before the match, we had to have the Battle of the Entrances. So Bobby Roode comes out. He basically takes a ploy off the 1989 Chi-Town Rumble match between Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat, where Ric Flair had the four women, but Bobby Roode doubled it up and he had eight. And they all were he had a purple and silver robe on, and they had purple dresses with sequins. And they all came down to the ring to the glorious music. And then Nakamura came out. And he was on some type of, like, something you would see at, like, a concert. Like, I saw Taylor Swift on one of these things where they kind of hook you in and it slides down or up wherever, however they want it to go. So he was going down to the ring on this thing. So it looked like he was floating or he was on a cloud or something. And, you know, he was just giving you all the swag. So Nakamura definitely won the entrance battle. Then we get to the match. Nakamura gives Bobby Roode a knee strike on the apron, but hurts his knee in the process. Nakamura hits against Sasha, but he can't get over to cover Bobby Roode. The doctors come out to check on Nakamura. He tells him he can go. So there's kind of like a little bit of hesitation. And Bobby Roode jumps back on him. He gives him a glorious DDT, but he only gets a near fall. Roode then puts Nakamura in a single leg crab. Nakamura fights out of it. He gets Roode into a triangle choke. But Roode frees himself, gives Nakamura another glorious DDT to become the new NXT champion. So Bobby Roode is now your NXT champion. Nakamura is supposedly suffering from a knee injury. They had some things on NXT that kind of showed the aftermath of, you know, what happened after the match when Nakamura was getting out of the ring and they were helping him out of the ring and things like that. So that was your NXT TakeOver San Antonio. Really good show, as, you know, TakeOvers usually are. Wasn't the, you know, star-studded, blow-you-away TakeOvers that we've had in the past, but a solid show nonetheless. And like I said, the Seth Rollins thing will probably be the most memorable thing that will come out of this for time to come, that, hey, even now on TakeOvers, you can expect the unexpected, where they can kind of blend some storylines. So that was pretty cool.
Now, would you say the title is now glorious?
Oh, for sure. And next week, we'll have a glorious coronation celebration on NXT. So looking forward to that.
All right.
Now we get to go to the event that you attended live and in person, the Royal Rumble.
I have some complaints about the Alamo Dome. If anyone from San Antonio is listening, close your ears. I'm going to talk about your... First off, they need to tear that place down. Nobody uses it anymore. Don't the Spurs place like somewhere else now?
Yeah, they're playing the AT&T Center.
Yeah, like they need to just bring in the bulldozers, make that place a parking lot or something. Because that was just horrendous. Like most bigger stadiums that I know how to have people form lines. Like their little lot isn't small enough to where like you have like eight lines wrapping around, like, you know, one little area. You know, when I went to Superdome, they had long lines because that whole area was big enough to hold a lot of people. They just had lines, straight lines, not like this weird wraparound bullshit it looked like or something. And then most big buildings, most big arenas, big stadiums, whatever, they have ramps. Or in the case of like Didi would mention where she went, they had an escalator. They don't have 8,000 flights of fucking stairs. This wasn't an issue, it was just an annoyance. And also their little, you know, areas, you know, outside of the bowl or whatever, they're so freaking narrow that you can hardly get past it. You can hardly get anywhere without like almost being trampled. I had to get out of it a few times just because there were just so many people. They just didn't do a good job of that. So thumbs down to the Alamo Dome. It's an old piece of crap and it needs to go. And yes, those are my opinions. Go ahead and put a disclaimer on this, Don.
This sounds like that old segment they used to give Jim Cornette on Raw.
Oh, where he come out and like say his like perspective or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And then he introduced like the 45-year-old NWA members. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Barry Windham's gonna be on this show next week. And the fucking Rock and Roll Express has heels. Yeah.
So okay. So. Excuse me. As we do with every large pay per view, we have our hashtags. So of course, with this one, say no to pre shows.
So Don, like, I mean, you work in that industry of, you know, arenas and whatnot. What do you, what the heck? Like, what's going on here?
I mean, like, it just depends. Alamo Dome was a building that was built.
It's not equipped to handle all that, that many people.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pre-2000 building. So, yeah, the infrastructure and the architecture was definitely different. And it's big as far as size because it was built with the intentions to hold the rodeo. So that's the reason why it's the size it is, and maybe the reason why it's not really equipped to handle the volume of people, whereas it may be able to handle animals, right? So,
yeah, oh god, their place is just like an antique. Like just looking at it, just looks old.
So that may actually give you a better perspective onto why it felt so narrow and tight and antiquated.
So that's why, like the outside area, like where you're going to line up or whatever. That's why it looks. They look like cattle pens.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. It's just like, so, because like there's a train station right next to it. The train like pretty much drops you off right at like the doorstep. It's just like, that's the reason why there were so many wraparound lines. It was just weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'd never experienced anything like that before. So you guys were doing your who you got? Is that what y'all were doing?
Yeah, of course. So of course, for the pre-show, I was the winner.
Yeah,
because I'm good like that. But we had to kick off.
Who did you pick, Dee Dee?
She actually picked Alexa Bliss and them. Oh, they all picked Alexa, and I picked Naomi. It's team to win, and that's how I won.
All right, so yeah, so I got to my seat right when Naomi came out. So you heard the music playing, and there was actually the crowd. Actually, the little bit of crowd that was there actually did a pop for her, and that was pretty great.
Everybody should pop for the glow,
right? I pop for every. Never mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Our teams were Naomi, Nikki Bella, and Becky Lynch versus Natty, Mickie James, and Alexa Bliss. Yes. They basically worked the match to where Naomi.
I got this. I mean, I'm just saying, I didn't have the Rumble participants and like what they when they came in like the later ones.
So you actually took notes?
No, I didn't take notes. I mean, I remember it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So they had their match and Lydia, you know, it's just your basic tag match, and then Naomi came in. I think she won with like a springboard moonsault or something off the
springboard split legged moonsault. Yes, sir.
There you go. And then she pulled it back, and then she got the pin, and so that means that she's probably going to be next in line for a title shot. Maybe I didn't watch SmackDown, so but I'm guessing that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so they're going to continue this thing that went on that started on the SmackDown before, right? Didn't they get into it?
Right. She was supposed to have a match against, I think it was Natty, and Nikki attacked her. And so she was like, no, nobody's going to steal my, you know, my shine. I'm back on TV. It's been a while. I ain't leaving this ring until I'm having a match. So anybody in the back, come on and bring it. And Alexa Bliss came out, but she kind of played her.
Let's see here. Okay, so the next match was, what we didn't get to see on TV was it after the match was over. And, oh, by the way, I love Naomi's music, but it's just weird as a victory music. It just didn't seem to fit. I don't know.
Her music fits. It's
not a victory, not with all three of the ladies in there. Like, okay.
Whose music are they going to play? She got the.
No. I'm just saying, like, as victory music in general, it just sounds strange.
Nah. Pretty sure the crowd loved it.
No, I'm not saying they didn't. It just sounded odd. Like, maybe because they don't get to hear it as victory music because they never let her win. But actually hearing it is like victory music, which is just the way it came in was just strange to me. But yeah, so like they all have problems in the room. What you didn't get to see on camera was that Naomi actually came back for like a curtain call, and I thought that was pretty cool. The crowd cheered her and she did the bow and everything. That was great. So people are really digging her. They're feeling the glow.
Okay.
Oh, thanks for joining us, TD. Welcome aboard.
I've been here. I've been having technical difficulties. A professional wouldn't pull my horrible earphones out for the world to see. They just let that be a personal thing between us.
Okay, forgive me.
You're not forgiven because you know I've been here. I didn't fall asleep. I'm not
drunk. No, but I was like, so DD, who you?
I heard you, but you didn't say it wasn't working.
Okay.
It wasn't working.
Technical difficulties.
I was going to tell you that I have faith in the little midget who looks like a 12-year-old. But no, she lost.
Well, you will refer to her as the 5 feet of fury if you want to talk about her diminutive status, ma'am.
She's like 4'10", though. You know everybody laughs about their height.
5 feet of fury. Hashtag.
She's like a white AJ Lee.
No, AJ looked like an adult. She just didn't look like she could drink legally. Alexa, she don't even look like she can go into the military. Like, it'd be like, okay, little girl. Try back in 3 years.
Yeah, she went to the doctor's office like they tell her to go to a pediatrician.
Yeah, basically that, yeah.
I actually know someone that happened to. You're like in their 20s.
Oh. That's going to be cool when she's in her 40s, though. But right now, it's just like, really?
Like, fuck you mean? What are you talking about? So, next match was Cesaro and Sheamus defending their tag titles against the Nazi Brothers.
Yes.
The Third Reich. There you go. The Third Reich.
The Alt-Right.
The Alt-Right.
Bannon and Kushner. Like, whatever you want to call them. It's all good.
Right. Okay, so their finishing move should be called Alternative Facts. So Gallows and Anderson. Anderson pins Cesaro with a roll-up whilst holding Cesaro's tights to win the title.
Hey, good bad guy shit. There you go.
Right.
Hey, and guess what?
Distraction finish?
That
Ow.
Too.
Ow.
And Carl Anderson has a WWE tag team title for his hot Asian wife to wear when she comes out of the shower every night.
Did you think? I like the way you think, sir. Okay, so next match was Nia Jax and Sasha Banks. So let me tell you how this match went. This is exactly how it went. Nia Jax worked the leg, Samoan drop. So basically a squash.
Yeah.
What do you think of this?
Yeah, Sasha did the J-O-B. I mean, you basically laid it out. The pop-up Samoan drop looked devastating, too, because, you know, Sasha is so small, so the air and the impact was very large. And Nia Jax looked good. So,
if she did that to Alexa, she'd die. Or she's like throw up here and then never come down.
Their team roots are they will never be facing each other. Don't ever put that in your mind again. But yeah, so
there's a draft coming up. I'm just saying.
So you know, the right thing happened. I mean, Nia Jax has been getting the push, so she needed to win. So I mean, there's no complaints here. Sasha's will be fine. She's a 3-time Raw Women's Champion. She'll be fine.
Okay, so the first match here of the Royal Rumble, where Charlotte defending against Bayley, and you got something to say, Dee?
Nope. Okay. I didn't see any of that because all that happened before 8 o'clock. So
okay.
Now this was the official start of hashtag Rumblecast. Thanks for everybody who came out and everybody on Twitter who hipped everybody's game when they had questions about, hey, what is Rumblecast? And we didn't even have to use our own answers to that.
All you have to do is just use my handy dandy guide.
Yeah. So yeah, that was that's the dopest thing about our fan base is like they just handle it for us when people have questions about our hashtag. So thank y'all. Appreciate y'all for coming out.
Thanks for coming out. God bless you. Good night. Okay. So Charlotte did the Bayley was hanging out on the apron and Charlotte gave her natural selection and just rolled her back in the ring and pinned her. But yeah, anticlimactic, but I guess it works.
Yeah, you don't get to see the natural selection that much anymore, so. And then she did it on the apron, so it made it kind of extra special. So that's what I like about Charlotte is she does have more than one finisher. And so on these pay-per-views, she can kind of vary what she uses. She doesn't always have to just, you know, continuously go for the figure eight to win. So I kind of like that.
Okay, so Kevin Owens defends his Universal Championship against Roman Reigns in a no disqualification match. And if it's a no DQ match, then why even have – never mind. I'm not even going to answer it. Ask questions. It's a Raw match. I don't care.
Sir, what was the boo level when the Roman Reigns music hit for this match?
Let me see if I remember. It was kind of, it's about 70-30.
Okay.
I mean, let's see here. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't really super obnoxious or anything. It was there. So, Chris Jericho was suspended above the ring in a shark cage. Let's see here. Lots of near falls, like, they're over there. Owens is over there setting up chairs and stuff. Lots of table spots. I remember, like, at one point, like, someone, like, they broke a table, and, like, I think somebody near me was like, hey, that table is for Styles Cena. Stop that.
talk about the fans you were around. Like, were they smarts? Were they casuals?
Some of them were, like, there were these two Mexicans behind me. They were doing, like, running commentary in Spanish on, like, a few of the early matches, and I thought they were funny. Like, one of them was, like, talking about Nia and Sasha, and they said in Spanish, like, man, she's really going to fuck her up because they saw how big she was. And then, like, one of them started, like, whistling the Nia theme, which I didn't need to hear.
Whistling it.
Yeah, and, like, after the match was over, I guess it was still stuck in his head.
Interesting.
Let me see. But in this match, Owens gave him a stunner, which, you know, Reigns should have, like, you know, doubled back. You know, he should have pulled the Rock. But yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. There was a powerbomb through an announce table. And then Braun Strowman came down and interfered and attacked Reigns with a choke slam onto an announce table and a running power slam through a table. And then Owens pinned Reigns to retain the title. Oh, yeah, and at one point, like, Jericho did throw down some brass knucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the point of the thing where it was like, he got Superman punched with a pair of brass knucks and he kicked out. Oh, we're going to Super Roman now.
I mean, if Super Cena can do it, why not Super Roman? Right? That's racism.
What can't the brown man? What can't the brown man do? It?
That's racism.
Mm-hmm. And you forgot the Kevin Owens crashing through the tower of chairs.
Well, yeah, I didn't mention that, but I remember when they were setting that up. Though, yeah,
that didn't look safe at all. Like, how do you make sure that one of the chairs doesn't go into your eyeball? Like, how do you?
or like something jabbing to your side or something.
But things could happen, like bad things. I don't know.
Horrible things.
It didn't seem safe.
Okay, so then let's see here. So Rich Homie Swan defended against Neville. Neville forced Swan to submit to a double underhook crossface to win the title.
Man, so just call it the Rings of Neville and stop fronting.
Rings of Neville.
What'd you call it? A double underarm crossface? Is that what you said?
Double underhook crossface.
Yeah, the Rings of Neville.
That's what I said on the computer. Did you ever see that Mad TV skit about OJ? OJ's blooper video?
No.
Oh, you missed out. It was, they were basically spoofing, like, They were saying, you know how OJ came out with that video years ago? I know you remember this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they made a spoof, like, separate blooper video for it. And it was like Orlando Jones as OJ, and it was just so funny. It was just like bloopers of like what would have happened on there. And he's like, yeah, because like the director's like, cut, cut. And OJ says, can I take another stab at it?
Oh, goodness.
And then there was a part where like,
I've seen that. That sounds very
funny. He botched the line or whatever, right? And then he's talking about how calm he is now, you know, and everything, how serene he is. He's like, and he botched the line. The director tells him about the botched line, and he's like yelling and grabbing, smashing the laptop. About, that's what it says on the computer. That's what it says on the computer. But yeah, if you ever go back and look for Mad TV OJ bloopers, funny. You think you've seen it, Didi?
I think I have. It sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's really funny. they do the whole thing of like the glove not fitting. Like, no, if the glove does, as you can clearly see, the glove does not fit, and it fits perfectly. And then he does another take with like a smaller glove. Oh god, it was so great. So yeah, AJ Styles against John Cena for the WWE title.
Now, didn't seem to have the large John Cena sucks chance that we're accustomed to.
They were there.
So Kevin Dunn must have been working his magic again.
Well, I don't know. According to Stephanie McMahon on Raw, Kevin Dunn's a fuck up, so I don't know. But yeah, so
I mean, we've all been knowing this for like the last like no, 8 years what or whatever. About, but
like, oh, the
production.
Mick Foley asked her about, he's like, oh, production must have been. Oh, die. God, throw Kevin Dunn under the bus. No, so yeah, this was a really good match. Like, this was like the best match that these two have had so far. There were so many near falls, and like,
here's my thing though. Does a bunch of near falls make a great match though?
No, it was a great match, but it had a bunch of near falls.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I just don't want you to say, I don't want you to say because they had 65 near falls that that's what made it a great match, because that's not always the case.
I mean, it's no Ricochet versus AR Fox, but I mean, they did have near falls. Not Ricochet, the other guy.
Real awesome.
AR Fox versus
Shane Strickland.
There you go.
AKA Killshot.
It's not them two. You know, those with those 8,000 near falls. But you know, it was like there was one near fall that came at the end where everybody really, really thought that
when he did that, I'm gonna tell you which one it was. It was when he did the Avalanche AA, and that's the one that got me. That's when I was like, early into this match right
people
now.
People around me were like shocked. This little girl, like. It was like maybe like two rows in front of me, stood up, turned around, and like legit put her hands to her head, like, oh my fucking god.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, I was like, it's over, and then it kicked out.
Like, she had never seen anything like that before. It was just like so amazing.
Then he kicked out, and I was like, hell fucking yeah. I was like, come on, AJ, you gotta win this shit now. And then my people.
Yeah, but then he won with like two, he did like the two amigos, but with the AAs.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yeah, you're not giving up from that. So, yeah.
I was hoping that AJ was going to give him a Super Styles Clash, but that never came.
They're not going to let that. Vince McMahon will personally run out there and like try to stop him. Let's see here.
It was so, definitely a hell of a match, and you will be voting
for the
Dandies.
Like, it was. Literally, like, deafening. Like, I really thought I was going to blow my eardrums. People were, like, really, they really, really loved that match.
Well, that's awesome that you went to a pay-per-view and saw maybe the best WWE match that they will have this year. And Didi went to a pay-per-view in 2016 and saw probably what was the best WWE match they had in 2016. So
definitely top five.
Mm-hmm. Top three.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so. No, this was a really good match. These two really went. This was like definitely their best match that they'd had, you know. So now, yeah, time for the main event, the 30-man Royal Rumble. So Big Cass opened the Rumble, and number two was Chris Jericho.
Yeah, just love the walk. Did you see the walk? Did you love the walk? Chris Jericho has the best shitty walk ever. You know, like you know, he just throws that hand up, throws that little snarl on his face. I love it.
So, let me see. So I guess y'all can like, you know, kind of guide
me. Man, we're going to give you the Cliff Notes version. Aditi, I'll let you jump in with your entrance. So who was number three?
Hmm?
Bring me up to number five. Who was number three?
Why would you ask me that and not tell me to have it ready? Oh,
I thought you still had it up. I'm sorry.
No, I don't have it up.
All right, anyway. Jericho was number two. They got through 3-4. Jack Gallagher was number five.
Oh, God. Okay, let me talk about Jack Gallagher. This is the funniest thing I've seen all weekend. Oh, this was so fucking amazing. Jack Gallagher came out with an umbrella. Wasn't it called Sir William or something?
William the Third.
He came out with his umbrella to give everyone a rightful smash, a rightful thrashing, which he did. And then he gave Jericho the low blow and then opened it and spun it around. It was really funny.
Okay. And then, like, Kalisto was number three. Mojo's number four. Jack's number five.
Forgot. Yeah. They were putting all your bays in there.
All early. So, I was like, this is not fair.
So I forgot who he did it on, but then, like, Jack Gallagher did the Mary Poppins.
Chris
that
Jericho.
Was so funny.
Was on Chris Jericho.
Jericho? Mm-hmm. God, I cracked up. That was great.
Mm-hmm. So Gallagher was the first person eliminated, and he was eliminated by Mark Henry, who was number six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mark Henry came out. He did the hook 'em horns, and some of the crowd popped. You know, mm-hmm. Some of them might have been A&M fans. Who knows?
Then we had Braun at number seven. And he eliminated Mojo, he eliminated Cass, he eliminated Kalisto, he eliminated Mark Henry. So we had a cleared out ring. Yeah. And we saw earlier in the night that Sami Zayn had drawn number eight because Dean Ambrose opened the thing up for him and told him it was upside down. And he still had number eight.
God, that's so stupid.
So that was Sami Zayn.
So stupid.
So Big Show came in. He was ninth.
Ow.
Then we had...
they had a showdown, though. They had a... Braun and Show had a thing.
Right, and eventually Braun eliminated Big Show.
Yeah, he did.
Then we had Ty Dillinger at number 10.
Because the perfect 10 out of 10.
Because Vincent wanted riot. I would have been
so hard if it was a Miz.
I literally just realized how clever that was that he was number 10.
Yes, and Vince didn't want a riot. They would have fucking hijacked that whole thing if that wouldn't happen.
So yeah, nobody around me knew who the hell he was.
So then number 11 was our friend, the Shameless Wonder, James Ellsworth.
Came out with the...
Cletus, the slack-jawed yokel. You know?
Right.
It's all the same.
So number 12 was Dean Ambrose.
Let me talk about this guy. He came out and he didn't want to... Braun was like trying to goad him into the...
I wouldn't want to go either. No. I'd have slid in one corner, slid right back out and stood next to Chris Jericho.
Braun was the one who gave him a start. I mean, I would have done anything there. I would have been like, yeah, like I'll shine your shoes, Mr. Strowman. Thank you for giving me this job.
And I tell you, I'd have been under that rope and right back out the other side.
His girl, Carmella, was like, get in the ring, damn it. Okay, so
I like her. She's a little thugged out. Get in that fucking ring. Go.
All right. So who was next, Don?
So Dean Ambrose was 12.
Oh, yeah, so like, did they squash their beef or what the
No, fuck? No, not at all.
No, because if I hate you, I'm not even going to play with you like that. That was just like a little bit too
familiar.
He fed him
to Braun Strowman.
But it was okay. If I hate you, I'm grabbing you and throwing you in there myself.
Okay, so maybe it's not hate, but I'm still petty about it, and I'm still watching you get your ass kicked by somebody. So I'm clearly not all the way over it. But maybe the burning anger is a little dissipated.
Dean Ambrose, you know, he's. I mean, all it did was just show me how much of a jerk he was. That's all.
It took you that long to notice. I tried to tell y'all, y'all just don't listen to me. It's okay.
No, like I said, it would have come off a lot less cartoony and goofy. I mean, maybe, like you said, the burning anger wasn't there anymore. And he was kind of somewhat over it to where he could play with him like that.
He just outsmarted him. It was just Dean Ambrose telling him he was smarter.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That doesn't take long.
I'm surprised Ellsworth didn't break his whole body when he got thrown out.
Taco Bell Cup here could have outsmarted Ellsworth. I mean, come on.
13 was Baron Corbin.
Yes. Strowman, he did eliminate Ty Dillinger. Then Corbin eliminates Strowman with the clothesline after Sammy gave him a hell of a kick. So, do you have who was 14?
Yeah, Kofi.
Was it Strowman who booted Jericho and knocked him out for 20 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was funny.
The Miz is 15th, and then now, Dee Dee, you got to go through because I didn't do, like, the next six guys who came in.
Okay. Next was Sheamus.
The next six guys.
Can you hear me?
No, I can hear you. I was being funny.
Okay. I'm trying to make this quick. Sheamus, Big E, Rusev. That is what she said. Rusev, Cesaro, and then Xavier is number 20.
All right. And then Bray came in at 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Sheamus and Cesaro eliminate the whole New Day at one time.
Assholes.
You got to mention the annual Kofi spot, which wasn't really all that impressive.
Because it wasn't nothing to be fucking right home about. Sheamus tries to eliminate Cesaro, and they kind of like, you know, look at each other in disbelief, and then they get eliminated by Jericho.
Cesaro starts swinging people, and then he gets dizzy, and then he's like completely just like disoriented, and he grabs Sheamus and tries to swing him, not realizing that
he didn't really try to swing him. He just kind of looked like, should I swing him?
And then like Sheamus is like, hey, what the hell's the matter with you?
And it's not like he swung him.
No, but it was funny though. Like he had swung like three people in a row, and then you could see he was just like, "Whoa, where am I?"
But it matters that he didn't swing him because later Sheamus tried to put him over the top
rope. Mm-hmm. And they both got eliminated by Jericho. Mm-hmm. So, give me 22 through 25.
Well, nobody cares about Apollo Crews, but he was 22.
People actually cheered him, which is odd.
I'm gonna pretend like you didn't say that.
That's not Ezekiel Jackson. It was his family.
Like maybe it was cousins, and they couldn't afford their seats or something.
They thought it was Ahmed Johnson.
23 was Randy Orton. 24 was Dolph Ziggler, and 25 was Luke Harper.
Okay, at 26 we get the Beast, Brock Lesnar. He comes in and immediately eliminates Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose.
Also, did y'all mention the spot where like Luke Harper turned on well, they turned on him first, but when he just
hasn't really happened yet in the processing of the way that it happens. So of course when Brock came in, he just like laid everybody down. So everybody's laying down, and number 27 is Enzo. So Enzo gets up on the stage. He gets to do his little thing. You know what I'm saying? He milks his entrance at least. And he does his scrappy dude thing. He ain't scared. He runs right in there against Brock and gets thrown right the fuck out in like 14 seconds.
18.
Let me give him all his time in there. I don't want to shortchange him.
Give him his 4 seconds.
You know, if you had given him the wrong time, Littlefoot would have came after you.
Yeah, I don't want them problems. We already have this Kentucky USC basketball thing going, so I don't need them problems.
Speaking of Kentucky, what was up with Enzo trying to fuck a chicken?
I mean, who wouldn't? But 27 is when it gets interesting, because you know at some point there's The Undertaker, and at some point there's Goldberg, so it's like, ooh. You get excited, and then number 28 is
Goldberg.
So just to let you know, we saw them setting up Goldberg's things. So that's why the crowd was just doing the chant like way ahead of time.
Oh, I thought they were doing it
because
they could do simple math, and they knew that it was coming up.
Well, I don't know. It's San Antonio. San Antonio doesn't really know from their math program. You know,
of course,
four left.
Of course, Goldberg and Brock are the only two men able to stand in the ring, and it basically happens again. Brock goes to clothesline him. Goldberg ducks, comes off the ropes, hits him with the spear, picks him up, chunks him out of the ring, and Brock is just stunned in amazement that he has been thwarted again by Bill Goldberg.
He's going to have to go on some kind of weird winning streak just to get his heat back, because now he looks like a fucking goof.
It's so fine.
29 was The Undertaker.
With the magical fucking entrance.
Yeah, he did.
Samuel.
They all had magical entrances.
Samuel, how did he get in the ring?
Oh, no, because everybody was looking at the stage. And, like, I had no idea. I didn't see that.
Damn it. Nobody knows. I don't know how he got in there.
He must have been under the ring the whole time. But then, like, his nurse, he might have been down there with a nurse or something, you know, making sure he
didn't. But he's old. Like, even if he's under the ring, like, he got to get from under the ring, got to get in the ring, got to stand up, and nobody notices what he's doing.
Okay, well, like, when they were escorting them out, they weren't going back up the ramp. What they were doing was they were going on the side.
They had a little gate. Yeah.
Okay, but like I think he came from there.
I want to know. Anyway.
So then we get the epic Bill Goldberg Undertaker stare down. Goldberg grabs him by the throat and eliminates Goldberg.
Okay. I was actually more like into him and Baron Corbin going at it.
Right. Mm-hmm. During this time, man, there's a lot of people getting eliminated. During this time, like Dee Dee said, it was starting to get good, so the note-taking became less and less my priority, and just kind of, you know, tuning in to what was happening. So then, of course, we get to the highly anticipated number 30 spot.
Who is number
30? Is it going to be Samoa Joe? Is it going to be Nakamura? Is it going to be Finn Balor? It's everybody's favorite, Roman Reigns at number 30.
I just want to know, what would have happened if you actually won the Universal title match? Would he still have come out? this, he could like have a match against himself at WrestleMania.
But this is what I realized. The WWE is just full of trolls.
Like, Vince McMahon would have been like, Roman, go out there. Fight yourself, Roman.
Well, this was just the buffer for what eventually happened. It was basically the distraction, you know, look over here. And then when this thing happened, it softens that blow. Yeah. But basically, Roman comes in, he eliminates the Undertaker, and they have like a crucial stare down. And man, if Roman Reigns doesn't go heel after that, because, I mean, nobody was on his side in that building.
No matter what, I mean, going into that match, he's going to be the heel anyway, because no one's going to boo Undertaker.
Right.
It could be John Cena. It could be anyone that people have normally cheered. They'll get booed against Undertaker.
Well, if Undertaker has the match, because we have some...
Oh, yeah, and I heard he got hurt, too.
Yeah, we got some... Well, I mean, he just had hip surgery like 4 or 5 months ago, so I know he wasn't in 100% shape.
He couldn't have...
Well, the thing is, like, he didn't really do much that in the Rumble match. Like, people just came to him, and he just, like, you know, took him out.
Yeah, but he's all with
like
a bad hip.
No, I'm saying, like, it's not like he was out there, like, doing flips and shit.
Yeah,
like,
but
I mean, he did take the bump all the way to the floor where he was, like, laid down flat and had to do the sit-up. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure that took a toll on that hip.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's probably what they did, but I'm just saying, like, they were really, really careful with him throughout the whole thing.
Right. Yeah. So, just to get to the conclusion, we come down to the final three. We got Randy Orton, we got Bray Wyatt, we got Roman Reigns. The final four was actually Chris Jericho. He finally got eliminated by Roman. Uh-huh. He was the longest person in the Rumble. I think it was 61 minutes, he said.
Wikipedia says 1 hour and 13 seconds, but we can go with 61. I'm okay with that.
So it looks like we're going to get maybe a Roman Reigns, you know, to find the odds where he's going to, you know, beat both the heels, but it doesn't happen. He does eliminate Bray, but Randy catches him as he's coming to spear him in an RKO, tosses him out. And Randy Keith Orton is this year's winner of the Royal Rumble.
AKA All Lives Matter.
Right? Racist Randall. So I do have a little bit of something that I've heard through the grapevine. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Vince McMahon is now more open than ever to actually turning Roman heel.
Finally, anyway,
damn time.
Hey, like, what was he waiting?
I didn't say he's going to do it. I'm just saying he's more open to the idea.
Yeah, this is the whole Roman Reigns thing in a nutshell. The WWE universe has never, ever, ever forgiven WWE for making them wait so long mm-hmm. for Daniel Bryan to be champion. Mm-hmm. And when Daniel Bryan finally became champion, he got hurt and couldn't be the champion no more. Mm-hmm. And when he came back, they put him in the Royal Rumble and didn't have him win it and had Roman win with The Rock and all that in Philadelphia and everybody booed it. And he has never, ever, ever recovered from that. It's not that he's a bad wrestler. It's not that he isn't, you know, when he gets in his big matches that he doesn't perform. It's just that he was the one that was forced on everybody, and he wasn't Daniel Bryan. And it wasn't like the natural thing, because the natural thing probably would have been to go to Bray Wyatt next, if the fans would have had their opinion about it. If the fans could have said, if you can't have Daniel Bryan be the champion, who do you want next to be the champion? They probably all would have picked Bray Wyatt before they picked Roman Reigns.
Keep that in mind. I already know what's going to happen within these next few months. I know everything.
Right. Yeah, wow. See,
you know everything.
That's what happens when. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's basically why the fans have this backlash against him. It's just all about Daniel Bryan. They're still
the internet fans, but
very, very hurt about Daniel Bryan.
I think people at the arenas do it just to do it. To be honest, I think like
catchy thing to do. But I'm just saying, right? But the whole reason that everybody has this such a strong opinion about Roman Reigns is that they just never got Daniel Bryan. It took them so long to go with it, and that's who the people wanted the whole time.
Well, of course, Don. I mean, it's not news. I mean, everybody knows this.
Anyway, points.
Some people don't.
Anyway, points for Braun Strowman for eliminating the most people this year with 7.
Yeah.
Minus points for James Ellsworth for only lasting 15 seconds. And as we already said, Chris Jericho lasted the longest with 1 hour.
So I'm actually surprised they let Braun do the feet nearly hitting the ground, but not really. Because, like, I don't know, like,
I'd be too afraid.
Yeah, that could go wrong, right.
I'd be too afraid he would have fucked it up,
yeah.
Chris Jericho said that, too. He said that somebody he was on the turnbuckle and somebody bumped into him and he almost like stumbled off. He was like, man, that would have sucked if I would have accidentally got knocked off and been eliminated.
Well, they could have done it like they did Stone Cold that 1 year. Just if nobody saw it, he just slid back in.
Like, I mean, you got to scam when you can. I don't know.
Because like the legit winner of the 97 Rumble was actually Bret Hart. But, you know, cheating as Austin.
You know, well, we all know who would have won the 92 Rumble, but, you know, Hulk Hogan. Hating ass Hulk Hogan. Yeah. I got so angry when I saw that shit. I was like, you just going to hold that man's head and ruin his shit. Because y'all hating ass lost. I was so angry.
Hey, with a tear in my eye. That's all I'm saying.
Did you know Rowdy Piper said he was a cousin of Bret Hart?
He's Canadian. I mean, there aren't. No, he's not Canadian.
Canada's a very big country. He's Canada by way of Ireland or Scotland or whoever was the kilts, those people.
Scotland?
Don't say it like I'm slow. Don't do that. Be it that country.
Jane Ellsworth.
Listen. Listen. Okay, what's next?
Is that it? That's all for the match. I mean, yeah, Racist Randall won, and yeah.
And he ended the show? That was it?
Yeah, that was it. He just posed.
He ruined it. All lives matter. Voice.
No, I was really salty, like, leaving there. You know, I was like, yeah, this sucks. Like, I didn't want his ass to win. I would honestly, not even joking, no joke, I would rather have Braun.
Yeah. Too soon. I was hoping for Jericho. And then when he got eliminated, I was hoping for Bray.
Yeah, maybe Jericho, yeah.
And then when he got eliminated, I went to Bray. And then as soon as I went for Bray, he got eliminated. I was like, oh, fuck. Roman gonna win.
They got Randy behind Charlotte in the promo.
I don't think they would have dared to have his fourth coordination this time. So I don't think they would have dared to let Roman win that year, this year. Are they going to try to coordinate him for the fourth time? It would have gone over very well.
Everybody was complaining about, oh, they didn't have any old timers. Yeah, they did. They came out 26, 27, and 28, 29.
Those are your surprise entrants right there.
Right.
It's like, I understand, because when I was looking, I was like, where are my surprises? Like, these people I saw on Tuesday and Thursday, or Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
Schedule change. But it's like, who am I surprised? Ty Dillinger?
Yeah, they just announced it. Well, I mean, Enzo, they didn't announce Enzo. You know, they used their Jack Gallagher. Like, they kind of used their own guys as the guys that we've been seeing as the specials this year. So,
and it's like, and I guess that's nice, but it's not really nice. Like,
Well, on a side note, this is like one of the second year. I think last year was the first year, but this is like Pat Patterson had nothing to do with the Royal Rumble. I think last year he sat in and kind of helped, but this year he had nothing to do with it. So that might be a little issue.
2 years.
I heard that last year though he was like there during the event though, so they did some things there that changed a little bit.
Because like he was the one who was always in charge of it, except for like the last
right year. Him and Brother Love.
That's what he said.
What if he just tells people that at the bar, you know, just to get them to buy him drinks? He's like, I'm the one that put the Royal Rumble together.
So, we're on the road to WrestleMania officially, y'all.
I don't know everything's going to happen, so I'm just kind of at this point right now.
And that's why when people get hurt, things that you quote-unquote know don't matter no more. So that's why reading ahead is kind of not the best thing to do, because you can't – they don't ever factor in people getting hurt or people not
being receptive
to what they want to do.
A certain person doesn't get hurt. You should be very pleased, Mr. DeLorenzi.
Oh, yeah, I can see it, but I'm not going to say, like, I'm going to read ahead and just be disappointed when it doesn't happen. But so now we move into Monday Night Raw. You got the notes for this, so you won't be taking it.
Unfortunately, yeah. Hold on.
Oh, my God. It was not bad.
This one moved pretty good. This was a good show, man.
Such a sour patch. Oh, my God.
He's like the crumbs in the bottom after you ate all the Sour Patch Kids.
No, you know what he is, to be really real? He's that Muppets. Statler and Waldorf. Yeah.
Statler and Waldorf.
He's the Muppets. It's like, goddamn.
Yeah, I saw a funny one. It was like, one of them was asleep, and he's like, wake me up when it starts. It started already. Wake me up when it's over.
That's you. For real.
You have been on the sidelines. You were injured for a little while, but now to be back in the mix, I mean, what's been kind of your take on the women's division lately?
I mean, I think our division is at its best. It's the best it's ever been. We have amazing talent, talented women here who are very hungry. And right now where I am, it's just about me validating myself and proving to everyone where I stand in this division. I've been around a long time, and I just want everyone to understand who Naomi is, what I'm about, and why I do what I do. I want people to feel the glow in my energy.
I feel like for so long you have been one of the main superstars, especially in the women's division, that everyone's like, oh my God, Naomi's the best. She's the most athletic. She should have the championship. She should be doing all these things. And now for you to come out, I mean, I just keep going back to Royal Rumble, because when you were on the kickoff show, I was like, oh, you blew my mind.
Well, and actually, that said, you have been so impressive that Shane and I talked. You beat Alexa Bliss twice in a row now. And so at Elimination Chamber, you will be getting the SmackDown Women's Championship match against Alexa Bliss.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm going to sit down.
No, you get to get up and celebrate. You get to do whatever you want.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Like, it is my goal and it is my dream to walk into WrestleMania as the SmackDown Women's Champion in my hometown, Orlando, Florida.
Ooh, that just gave me goosebumps. Can you imagine?
Brian, I imagine this every night. I've had dreams where my husband has woken me up because I'm like, doing stuff because I dream about this. It's real.
Okay, so Monday Night Raw. Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho come out to gloat about their victory. Brody the Strowman comes out. They thank him for helping Owens, but Strowman says he only did it for the title shot he was promised. And of course, I have no idea what he's talking about, so he rolls footage from a month ago. Owens reneges on his promise, prompting Mick Foley to waddle out. They were saying, it's Photoshop, it's CGI. I thought that was funny. Prompting Mick Foley to waddle out and make him keep his promise. That match will happen tonight. And it's funny that Jericho calls himself the 61-Minute Man, which is a callback to Ric Flair when he used to call himself the 60-Minute Man. So the more you know, apparently.
Woo! All night long, Space Mountain.
Right.
18 okay. And up. Marriott. You can't be first, but you can't be next.
It was kind of creepy. Did you ever see his old NWA promos when he cut promos on like the Rock and Roll Express? He'd say he likes grown women and like the Rock and Roll Express like little teeny boppers.
Yeah, because all their fans were the little girls.
Fans were teenage girls. Yeah. And he'd bring out like those training bras and he's like, this is what your fans wear. This is what your girlfriends wear.
He was like, I like women that have full sweaters and like empty heads or something. That's what he says to lead into that. He's like, you like the girls.
He'd bring up like the big girl bras and he'd be like, this is what I like. Okay, so Sami Zayn versus Chris Jericho. Zayn wins with a hell of a kick. So Sheamus and Cesaro are arguing backstage. Bayley tells them to knock it off. She says when they get their rematch, they'll win their titles back. Just like her, if she gets her rematch, she'll get the Miss title, which makes me wonder what rematch she lost. You don't get a rematch for losing when you don't have the title. So then there's a big group hug. What'd you call them, Dee? The alt-right?
Mm-hmm.
The alt-right and Charlotte laugh at them, call them nerds and losers, and that's pretty much it.
Oh, hold on. You know what was cool, though? When they all walked up together, they all had their belts on like the shoulders the same, so it was like symmetrical, and that shit looked tight.
So you know, like, why didn't you give John Cena any shit on at the Rumble when he put on his belt the same way Roman did?
Because we all hate John Cena, and it doesn't.
I didn't see it. If I would have saw it, I would have saw it.
Go back and look. He does that.
Okay, because I called out Neville
after he made it to the Make a Wish kid, so that we could all feel like shit for complaining about him winning.
I think he did it.
I saw the scam. I sure did.
He did it when he was like already up on the ramp.
Put the belt on the little sick kid, so we can't be like, really, this bullshit.
Maybe they didn't show it on TV. I mean, I don't know.
But I did rip. I did rip Neville though when he came out during his coronation. I did rip him.
Fucking coronation, King Neville. Because so Stephanie McMahon's in her office with a big Shawn Michaels Jesus movie poster in the background. Kevin Owens tells Stephanie how appalled he is that he has to defend his title. Yeah, he had to defend his title last night and this night, and he's hurting and in pain. Stephanie says she'll try to get his match canceled. So Tony Nese and Mustafa Ali. Nese drops his knee pad and does a running knee strike on Ali's face for the win, for the pin. He had also given him a pretty nasty lariat too. Austin Aries interviews him after the match and asks him to answer his critics, who say he's very talented but lacks charisma. He said he doesn't have to answer to any critics. You see when like he talk about his washboard abs and like how he like has the personality of a washboard.
I laughed.
That was funny.
Hey man, Austin Aries, greatest man alive.
Okay, so Seth Rollins comes out. He calls out Stephanie McMahon. There's a guy in the La Parca mask who's sitting in the third row.
Your Stephanie's
random observation.
Stephanie was it you?
Yes, it was me. Mm-hmm. Stephanie says Triple H isn't there tonight. Seth wants to know when is she going to let him off his leash? The two argue back and forth. Stephanie says Seth turned his back on the authority, which I don't remember happening. Like, how did he do that? By getting hurt? Do
y'all remember Seth said that she wanted to play with his erector set, though.
Hey, hey, man. Hey. It's a G-rated show. So Seth
G as in gangster?
Yeah, the G stands for gorgeous. Come on, for G Sanford. So Seth said he is going to chase Triple H everywhere, not just NXT. What's going to happen when Seth goes to their house and Stephanie's little kids answer the door? Is he going to beat them up?
Going full Stone Cold.
I mean, so, remember that time that like Triple H went to Randy Orton's house and his pretend wife was in there?
Mm-hmm.
This is weird. Like, but then again, like his kids probably don't answer the door. Probably the help does or something. Those Guatemalans that he hired, they probably answer the door. The dialogue is ridiculous. No one talks like this. You're going to be the architect of your own demise. Who talks that way? Stephanie says Triple H is actually on his way to the arena and he's coming for Seth.
She said, I lie.
Right. I lie to your ass. Okay, so six-person mixed tag team match. At one point, Sheamus is pounding Gallo's chest. Charlotte jumps in and breaks it up, which I thought that was amusing. Cesaro botches trying to springboard off the ropes. Did y'all catch that?
Oh, man, he crashed and burned. It's lucky he didn't. No, it was Cesaro. He slipped off he went to the springboard, slipped off, got back up, then did the crossbody and landed like head first on the damn mat. Right.
See, people have too much respect for him to chat you fucked up.
Yeah, this boy should have had more respect to catch him though.
So I think it was like I actually think it was Bailey that was behind him when that happened. So, however, Charlotte tries to put Bailey in the figure eight. Bailey kicks her in the rear, turns around for a Bailey to Bailey, and she gets the pinfall victory. Okay, so Stephanie chews out Mick Foley about making the title match. Foley says, hey, this is why you hired me. Stephanie says the WWE production team made an error last week. Like, goddamn Kevin Dunn. Fucked up again. Foley said tonight is going to be a great match, unless someone plays Triple H's music and he doesn't show again. Okay, King Neville, King, Coronation, King Neville. Neville is the king of the cruiserweights. King, did he mention King? More King references, talking about his the belt is his crown and a bunch of the crap. Like, did he make it clear enough that he's a king? I'm not sure if he did or not.
Mm-hmm. The king of the evil elves.
Mm-hmm. God, he's a hobbit. So Rich Homie Swan comes out. He says he has a rematch coming to him. He also tells him that the fight Neville is having with the WWE is all in his head. Neville wants him to bow down to his king. And more king stuff. Swan walks away and Neville gets in his face and the two go at it.
Never turn your back on your king. First person I thought about was freaking Dee Dee. Like, I know she just jumped off her couch.
Yeah, you know how I feel about that.
And then Rich Swan fucked up his ankle on the suicide dive.
Oh, okay. Another injury.
Yeah, because he almost did a freaking crash and burn. He almost didn't make it. Luckily, his foot got unhooked from the rope and he got enough of him. But yeah, it could have been real bad.
Yeah.
It makes you just take for granted when you see them run and dive through the rope that damn they never get their foot caught in the rope. They always make it. But then you see somebody nip it like he did and almost not make it, and you'd be like, yeah. Now I see why they call it the suicide dive, because if you do get clipped up by the ropes, you leave it on a stretcher.
As Marl calls it a suicida.
Yeah, you leave it on a stretcher.
Mm-hmm. And what was that, Dee Dee? Tope suicida. Yeah, tope suicida. So in the training room, Sasha is getting taped up. Bailey comes in and says she should wait before going after Nia again. She's a three-time women's champion, and she has nothing to prove. Sasha cuts a heel promo on her friend and says, like, unlike some people, I'm not okay with coming up short. So is this a slow burn heel turn, or does she just not know how to play face?
No, it's a slow burn heel turn. It's coming. They're gonna give me back the real boss.
She's definitely going on her Dolph Ziggler. I didn't ask you to help me. Don't nobody need your assistance. So, you know, Sasha is Dolph. Bailey is about to be Kalisto. That's how this is going. Oh, wow. Yeah.
But it'll be a much better match when they decide to do that, though.
Absolutely.
So for Sasha to turn heel, she would have to like beat up Bailey or something, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Sidebar: what would Roman's heel turn be? Who would he have to, what beloved person would he?
You don't have to beat up nobody. All he would have to do is just switch. Yeah, all he would have to do is just change his wrestling style up and cut like a real life him personality promo instant. Yeah,
okay,
have to beat up
nobody. Let's just say he did. That's how he made it clear to everyone that he had to beat up a beloved personality. Who would that be? What person is so beloved?
Undertaker.
Clearly that. I'm just saying, like, you know, now, like, you know, Undertaker's not going to be there.
Like every week on the damn show? Like every week
person, yeah. Like Sami Zayn or somebody?
Anybody. Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anybody. Because they want to boo him anyway. It doesn't really matter. You put him out there on
actually,
anybody.
I actually think they're going to pop when he does actually turn heel. We are a strange lot
like that, where everybody would start fucking. Now he's a bad guy. He's getting cheered, doing the worst things ever, saying the worst things ever, and everybody's like, "Fuck yeah, Roman!"
Did you hear the pops? That Hogan got a lot of cheers, but I mean, Hogan got a lot of boos when he turned heel that one time. But then, like, if you look at the crowd, there were people actually like fucking excited in the crowd.
Oh, Hollywood Hogan is my favorite Hogan. I hate it. Fucking use your vitamins, say your prayers, Hogan. But when fucking Hollywood Hogan came out, dude, oh my gosh.
You also have to remember around that time, people were really, really starting to turn on him. So it was kind of like Roman Reigns in a way where like he was kind of already heel.
Right. Because
people didn't like him anymore.
Right. He just hadn't done it yet. Right.
Yeah. Okay, so Owens and Jericho in their locker room. Owens gets the news that his match is still happening. He asks Jericho if he has his back, even though Jericho mentions the time that Owens didn't have his back, like during the match against Zayn. Jericho hesitates and says he has Owens' back. Okay, Braun is Strowman versus Kevin Owens. Braun comes out and chokeslams Jericho through the announce table. Wow, that's one way to put him. That's one way to make sure he doesn't interfere.
But first, he kicked the hole in his chest you could see through, man, when he was in the chair. Good Lord.
Oh, he was already sitting down because I turned around at that point.
Yes, he was.
Okay. Oh, he was on commentary, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Okay, so he chokeslams Jericho through the announce table. Now, once the match actually starts, he just starts squashing the hell out of Owens. The match continues, but then Roman Reigns comes out for payback. He Superman punches Strowman, and the match is over. The referee's the bell. Reigns shoves Strowman over the top rope, and he spears him coming off the steps. Roman looks into the ring and spears Kevin Owens. Much heel tactics. Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman come down. Paul Heyman starts to spiel, but then stops because the crowd is chanting Goldberg. Paul says that every legend has his one asterisk.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He mentions Andre the Giant losing to Hulk Hogan, Ronda Rousey losing to Holly Holm, Undertaker losing to Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle losing to Brock Lesnar, and so of course Brock Lesnar has Goldberg. Paul says that Brock challenges Goldberg one final time at WrestleMania, and then Brock points to the sign like he's a mute or something. So, that's going to happen. So Nia Jax versus Sasha Banks. Nia goes back to work on the knee. When Nia has Sasha in a submission hold, the bell rings for some strange reason.
Somebody lost their job.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Light.
More like Kim.
Somebody.
More like Kim. Production. So even after the match, when the match does finally end, Nia puts her back in the hold and Bayley comes out to help her best friend. At the commercial, Bayley and the referee are helping Sasha into the training room. I thought that was funny. That was a funny visual.
It's because you're awful. Yeah.
Hey.
Because you're awful.
Rusev and Jinder versus Enzo and Cass. The crowd is completely dead for the match. Enzo and Cass win when Enzo does this dive thing, and he gets the pin on Rusev.
It's the rocket launcher, a.k.a. the Bada Boom Shakalaka.
Yeah.
Need to watch a Midnight Express compilation video on YouTube to get that damn thing synced up.
So, like, he gets the pin on Rusev. At least you wonder, why the fuck was Jinder there if he wasn't going to take the pin?
But you got to remember, the whole beef started off with Enzo and Rusev, and this was supposed to be the final encounter, so that's why.
Yeah. Sorry. I just want to complain.
I don't see. I don't see fucking Santino I'm pinning Waldorf. The Undertaker.
Come on. I'm Waldorf. I'm Statler.
Which one do you? I'm not both.
You are because you have enough sourness to go in two different
modes. Hey, hold on, let me mute TD real quick.
Okay, you mute me. You won't be able to get me back. You know I'm having technical difficulties.
Okay, so Triple H comes out and cuts a promo on Seth Rollins. Seth, who's been looking for Triple H for weeks, going to NXT to confront him, is nowhere to be found. Why didn't he just come out right when he saw Triple H? So Triple H cuts a babyface promo talking about having to put on a suit every single day, but not anymore. Now I'm back. Finally, Seth Rollins comes out. The two stare each other down. Seth removes his shirt, starts coming down, and then before he reaches the apron, Joey Samoa comes out of nowhere and attacks Rollins and injures the shit out of him. So that's pretty much the end of Raw.
Joe basically throws him into the barricades about three times, throws him in the ring, gives him about six senton bombs. And then the injury happened when they went to the Coquina Clutch. Usually if you watch Samoa Joe, he kind of just falls flat back and the guy kind of lands on top of him and then he'll cinch it up and kind of roll over to the side. Where on this one, I don't know, it's like they kind of, he was kind of to the side of Seth Rollins. So when he fell, it's like it twisted Seth Rollins and it just looked awkward when they went down. And then on Tuesday at about 10:15 in the morning, my phone went off and I was like, that's weird. What is that? And I look at my phone and WWE is reporting that Seth Rollins has re-injured his already surgically repaired knee. God damn. And everything they just set up is in limbo. The official word is he has an injured, I think it's meniscus, and it's going to be maybe 8 weeks. Wow. So literally like WrestleMania, like the day.
That kid can't win for losing.
But Sting is just laughing. He's just cracking up.
Well, there were a bunch of jokes like on the Law radio that night when they did their, you know, Raw thing, when they did their, you know, people were talking about who's going to injure who first. You know what I'm saying? Are they going to be able to get through a whole program without somebody getting injured? And the jokes became reality really quickly. Because, you know, the last time Samoa Joe debuted somewhere, he broke Tyson Kidd's neck on Main Event.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that was him that did that?
Yeah, that was him that did that. The Muscle Buster.
Look at DDC. You're just horrible.
He's alive. It's different.
He's alive.
He killed the man.
Yeah, now he has
to. Yeah, he literally almost died. He literally had the same thing that Christopher Reeve had, and he's like, man. Damn lucky he's alive and can walk.
And not a quadriplegic. Yeah, man, right. Almost doesn't count.
No, like, he's alive. I'm like, well, I wouldn't count taking care of Maddie's cats as being alive.
Yo, like, can you imagine somebody being like, oh, Samoa Joe's gonna come beat you up? And be like, what are you not gonna do? Sorry, no.
I'd be like, no, fuck no, get out of here.
Like, that's not in my contract. I am so sorry.
Yeah, Samoa Joe was like, playing it up on Twitter.
You'd be like, see the way my contract's set up.
Definitely.
Yeah, so unfortunately, man, CrossFit Jesus is going to be on the shelf for maybe the whole WrestleMania season, so it's just unfortunate.
Well, that's okay. Now he has more time to sit back and watch more, like, black documentaries.
Oh, no, he's just going to whoop everybody's ass and Madden.
He's going to go...
Because he's the king, he's the champ.
He's going to go watch Fruitvale Station, Rosewood, watch all those movies. Was another one, Four Little Girls? Was that one of them?
Why are we talking about all the movies that make us hate white people? What is this?
Because he had the whole Black Lives Matter tweet after watching a movie.
The 13th Amendment, remember?
Oh, that's Seth Rollins? Yeah, he likes white people now. That's because he hangs with Zayby. He played enough up, up, down, down, and he became one of us.
Yeah, he, like
he's the one that made the recommendation.
Like, Randy Orton lost all his black fans, and Seth Rollins gained them all with that one tweet. Like, we thought, man, I mean, Randy Orton took a picture with the Migos. It's like,
that's how we got you.
Right. That's how we got here in the first place. And then when he did that RKO that time and he ran out through the Black Lives Matter part of the crowd, it was like, oh,
that's
yes.
Just a coincidence. He didn't look around too hard. See, y'all, yeah. Y'all got played.
He'd be like, whoa, hold on. I'm in the wrong station. Hold on.
He was like, oh, I didn't. ERB. This wasn't on purpose. This, you know, they just told me to go this way. I didn't know you were here. My bad. Like, you know, Sasha probably was like, I see you, girl, with the ponytail. You my people, when she won her title the last time. I don't think Randy plotted his out. Like, oh, black folk, yeah. Like, they just told me to go like, to the left. Like, I didn't know you were here.
Sasha was backstage, and she saw, like, the little crowd of, like, people right there. And she's like, okay, I'm going to take it that way.
Whereas they told Randy to go to the left. And he was like, oh, hey, nice to see you all. That's the interesting signs you have. See, it's just a coincidence.
He's like, Trump's going to deport all y'all. You'll find a way. Jeez.
All right, sour patch kids.
God.
All of them.
You do this, but
clearly sour.
Yeah, all of them. All the sour patch kids. even like the sour dust at the end. Even that.
Didi, gummy bear rating.
I'll give it a good 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I thought it was a good show. It didn't drag. The last hour was good.
It ended on a high note because I believe in kayfabe. So as far as I'm concerned, Seth's not injured until Monday comes around, and they tell me he's injured. So this is just a good beat down.
Right.
You're not breaking the key fob.
I believe in it. I don't read blogs.
See if I was a wrestler, if I was a wrestler, I would never, like, even on Twitter, I would never break character, like, because I heard, like, guys like the Dudley Boys used to do that. Like, fans would try to approach him, like, at stores or whatever. Like, they'd, like, shove him out of the way.
No, Bubba Ray was a jerk, dude. Yeah. ECW Bubba Ray?
Yeah. He looked like he shoved down one dude, like, just to the ground.
I mean, you know the infamous promo.
Which one?
About the F word in the front row in the Hawaiian shirt. Oh, and then the daughter who probably learned how to, from her mother.
Come on, practice.
I'm still thinking about that the mass transit incident. That was like he was like, you know, like, oh, make it look good. He's like, New Jack is like, all right, cool, I will. And he just stabbed the shit out of him.
Well, you know that's from Dusty Rhodes. Yeah, you know that's from Dusty Rhodes. That's what he said when they jumped him in the parking lot.
Oh, when they jumped him that one time on mm-hmm. the way.
Yeah. Yeah, and they broke his arm, and they're holding him. And right before the camera goes out, he goes, you better make it good.
Yeah, that was a strange. Did you ever see this video? It's so weird.
Which one?
It's like the horsemen are in the car creeping up on Dusty Rhodes. Like they're trying to catch him slipping.
Oh, yeah, he's in like a 500 SL Mercedes, too, boy.
They're creeping on him. Like, oh, I'll get a little closer. I was about to do a drive-by or something, and they just jump out and they start beating the shit out of them in the parking lot. No. So weird. You gotta look that up.
Oh, yeah, that's classic horseman NWA right there.
It's like they were leaving that. They were chasing it. They were like, it's like more of that out of the arena stuff that I wish they do now, you know?
Right.
I mean, like I said, like these people, like we try to act like these people live in a bubble that only takes place at the arenas. It's just not how things work. But whatever. I digress. So what's next? Hold on. It's that one show, the one that matters. Is it? What is it, Dee Dee?
Oh, is it Smacky Downy?
Smackdown. Why?
Because Smackdown matters.
There you go. Go ahead. Take it away.
But you don't. Did you want to do a commercial first or no? Yes. No.
We can stick in the commercial here.
As long as it's not about Enzo's having relations with the chicken, it's good.
I mean, it might be.
No, it could be because I'm going to have Dee Dee be ready for the promo code here.
Oh, again. By the way, did y'all see? Did they show on TV the voodoo one with the New Day?
I don't think so.
Okay, there was one where like New Day was on the couch, like the same couch that Enzo was just on.
Oh yeah. They did. They showed that. Yeah,
they do the voodoo rocks. The crowd was going voodoo sucks. Voodoo sucks.
That's because y'all from Texas and y'all some damn haters. No offense, I like Texas people. My people from
that. Oh, look at you. Mm-hmm. No, it's about this, you know. I mean, people aren't going to be. You're not going to try to guide us into anything. You're trying to get us to do the whole voodoo rocks. It doesn't. It sucks.
It doesn't suck. Y'all are just hateful.
Have you used it before? It's awful.
This is how people got voted for Trump because they were like, "Don't tell me what to do. Vote for who I want to vote for."
But voodoo is awful. I mean, have you read their emails? I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Something that is not awful. It's Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. It's becoming the time for lovers. Valentine's Day is almost here. 12 days away, fellas.
12 days away.
And ladies as well. Mm-hmm. So why not spice it up a little bit?
I'm a classic if you're hearing this. When Don's doing this, play the Rick the Model Martel music.
Oh, my God.
How about the Val Venus music or Rick
Yes, Reed? The Val Venus music.
There you go, Val Venus.
Yes. So... the way that you can spice up your relationship and have a great Valentine's Day is by visiting Adam and Eve through the CSPN. Visit our website at www.cspn.us. Click on the banner that says Keep Our Podcast Free. Click on Adam and Eve. Buy whatever it is for your pleasure. And Dee Dee, they need to use the promo code
OTOY
when they check out to get 50% off their order. So that way you will have a great Valentine's Day. Full of O faces, hopefully. But please use Adam and Eve through CSPN.us. Have
O faces. So is it going to be there? It's about O faces.
Just let it happen.
If you want to make that lovely segue into SmackDown Matters then.
Wow. I was just tweeting the chairman to make sure that he knew. Need you to put that Val Venus on our commercial. Yeah. But yeah, this week's
shut up the theme right here, see?
Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus. That's awful. Yeah, I used to adore Val Venus, like top three. Certainly. It was
that's because she was just full of hormones.
It's pretty much the same theme. The same song, pretty much.
Well, I wasn't around for that, man. But I was around for Val Venus. And I found out that his sister was married to Edge, and I was like, I hate that man. And then they got divorced, and I was like, ah, never mind. So it was fun. I was a petty child. I don't know why I cared. But yeah, can you hear me?
He's actually a proponent of the sticky green stuff, so I think you might still be into him.
I was always into Val Venus, so I wasn't into the sister. I was hating. I was a hater hoe, not a greater hoe. I have, you know, upgraded.
You have grown in your days.
I've grown in my age, and you know, as I, you know, spend more cycles along this earth. But anyway, SmackDown this week is coming from the American Bank Center, as opposed to the Dutch Bank Center, where they're laundering all the money for y'all's president. But that's none of my business. That bank center is in Corpus Christi, Texas. So yeah, they do the recap from the Royal Rumble showing Randy Orton's win and John Cena becoming the 16-time champion. AJ wants to know when he's getting his rematch, but he doesn't want it at the Elimination Chamber because, you know, the Elimination Chamber is when there are like six people in the chamber. It's much harder to win a title that way, so he doesn't want it there. But Brian says, oh, it's going to be in the chamber. And AJ's like, no, I want a one-on-one match. And Brian's like, no. So he's like, fine, who's in the chamber? So Shane is there too, and he says, AJ is going to be in the chamber, but so will Bray Wyatt, Baron Corbin, The Miz, and Dean Ambrose. Those people will all be in the Elimination Chamber. Ambrose shows up. He's like, what's up? He's like, cool. And he's just like, go away. And then Dean says something about the real soccer moms of that and things of that nature. And then Dean wants a match with AJ. And then Shane makes the match with AJ. So that's how that goes. John Cena comes out. He gets, you know, it's a good John Cena sucks song, but it's not so loud this time. He tries to make, you know, chant wars happen. It doesn't quite work. He apologizes to AJ for saying he wasn't in his league and that AJ brought out the best in him, which is true. And he's like, well, none of that matters because in less than 2 weeks, he'll be defending the title at the Elimination Chamber, but he'll still be champ after said chamber. So this brings out Bray and Randy. Bray's like, the more things change, the more they stay the same, but at the chamber, John will be trapped in a cage with him, and he would become WWE champion. Randy says that if Cena somehow escapes the chamber alive with the title, then Randy will take it from him at WrestleMania and end their rivalry, which I didn't know that they had one, once and for all. Then they come down to the ring. They surround AJ. The lights come out. They come back on. Luke Harper's behind John Cena. And then it's all good. And so he looks at Bray and Orton and says, oh, John's like, oh, you're not trying to fight me. And then, you know, they back off. And then Shane comes out. They make a match. So then there's a match. And, you know, the things, they happen. Randy.
After his sister Abigail to Harper, Cena tries an AA on Bray. But Orton saves him and gives Cena an RKO to get the pinfall.
Boom.
Those are the things that happen.
Donald is just so professional. I can't even. So next is an announcement that Nene and Becky will face Alexa and Nikki. And a tag team match tonight, the main event tonight, or Tuesday night, I should say, was AJ and Dean. Next is Carmella versus a lady named Jobber, or also Delilah Dawson. James is wearing the outfit that Carmella got him straight out of Staten Island Express. They boo him, and he's like, no, be nice. And they boo him. He tries to introduce Carmella. Nobody cares. She still does her moonwalk. Blah, 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 blah. The match, it happens. James pulls the girl's feet out from under her when she's getting ready to, like, beat Carmella's ass. And Carmella's able to take advantage, and she puts on the code of silence, which I always hear is the cone of silence, but that's okay.
I thought it was the cone. Like,
it's the code, like Italian people, like, don't snitch. It's the code of
gotcha.
Silence.
Gotcha. Yeah. Thank you for teaching me something today.
No, it's no problem. It sounds like cone, because it's like her legs look like a cone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What'd you think about the Smurfette, Jobber?
I didn't appreciate the way they were shading her. Because JBL was like, are we really supposed to be taking this seriously?
He called her the Blue Meanie.
That's Delilah Doom.
Yeah. Wait, Delilah who?
Delilah Doom. She wrestles around here. She was also one of Nia Jax's jobbers.
Hmm. Her name wasn't Delilah Dawson when she was
else. No, I think it was something else.
Was her hair blue when she was Nia's jobber?
I think so. It was multicolored. So it was some color.
She didn't look familiar to me. There should be more lady jobbers. I need more ladies. I want a ladies tag team. Damn it. They have enough of the show, the matches. They need to just go ahead and have some titles. Make it worth something. But anyway, next match was Dolph versus Kalisto. Ziggles won with a super kick. He tries to take off Kalisto's mask after the match, but Apollo Crews runs down to make the save. Ziggles runs away, and Apollo almost catches. It's very
cool. Yeah, Apollo looked like he couldn't get over the barrier, though.
Yeah, like he ain't got no hops. Like, if you had gone that other way, though, he would have caught him. Maybe it's like when a dog has on, like, that shock collar and they can't go, but so far, maybe it's like that.
Maybe.
I think so. Backstage, Daisy Fuentes is interviewing Becky Lynch and Naomi.
Dasha.
Daisy. Becky says she won't forget what Mickey did to her and is used to getting attacked from all sides, from behind, giggity, from the side, and now from the past. Nene says Alexa felt the glow on Sunday, boom, and will again tonight, boom. Nene calls their team Glow Fire.
What do you think about that?
That sounds awful. But my thing is, if you're having team names, you need team titles. Let's make it happen. Because listen, 8 women can't fight for 1 title at the same time.
You're so true.
But they can fight for 2 titles at the same time. But anyway. Okay, so Naomi and Becky versus Lexa and Nikki. After a break, Lynch eventually makes a hot tag to Naomi. She does some great shit, resulting in a near fall on Alexa. Alexa and Mickey try to double team her, but Becky tackles Mickey outside of the ring. And Naomi hits Alexa with a split leg moonsault for the win. It was great. It was great.
Mm-hmm. And the hot tag and everything. Naomi is on fire.
And the crowd was behind her. Oh,
mm-hmm.
It was great.
We all felt the glow, didn't we?
We certainly felt the glow. It was amazing. Backstage, Daisy asked American Alpha what's next for the tag champs. They're like, good question. He said nobody stepped up to challenge them for the whole month since they've beaten the Wyatt family. And Gable, is that the white one or the black one? Whichever one. They begged.
Chet Gable is the short white one. The Caucasian one. Yes.
The Caucasian one. Or the biracial one. Or is Jason biracial?
Jason, I think, is biracial. Jason's
probably biracial. Yeah. So Chad covers his eyes. He's like, please, somebody step up and try to take it from me. And, you know, Jordan almost gets hit a couple times. Because, you know, that's how brothers play. It's adorable. So they said, okay, we'll go to the ring, issue an open challenge, and they asked Daisy to wish them luck, and she does.
You know what? When Chad Gable walked off, and then Jason Jordan kind of, like, doubled back,
mm-hmm.
I thought he was about to spit some game. I thought he was about to holler.
I mean, he's probably, you know, professional. You got to do that when the cameras aren't watching. But when he did double back, he was just like, hey, you didn't say good luck. And then, you know, Daisy did what she's supposed to do. She's like, come on. It's great. So if you care about talking smack, I don't, because that's still a post show. And I say no to those. But if you're into that, Daniel Bryan was back on Talking Smack with Renee Young, American Alpha, Nene, and Randy Orton. So next was the tag team open challenge. The Usos came out immediately, followed by the Ascension, Vaughn Villains, Breezango, and Heath Slater, and Rhino. And then there's a brawl. And then the referees try to break it up. And then the ring is clear, and just inside are the American Alphas and Slater and Rhino. And we kind of don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I think that was just to remind everybody that, yeah, we do have tag teams here on SmackDown, and here they are all at one time. Because at first, when the Usos first came out, it was like, oh, shit, it's about to be on. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the assistant came out right behind them, then was like, huh, what the fuck is going on?
It was very awkward.
So
because it looked like it was supposed to be, the way they, I don't want to say edit it because it's live, but the way they edited it, it looked like it was supposed to be like, oh, they played the music. We're going to come back for a commercial. And then the American Alphas are going to fight Heath and Rhino.
Somebody.
Because right. Those were the last two in the ring. But that's not what happened. So it was like, oh, okay. So it was a little off. Or a lot off. Something. I have not, you know, I haven't heard about distractions. And I'm the right amount of drunk. So I haven't been saying, a lot. But just take a drink anyway. So. Mm-hmm. It's all right. So they do a replay of the brawl between Natty and Nikki from last week. Brian's in backstage, and he's, like, talking on the phone with his wife about what happened. He's like, yeah, it's crazy. Then Natty enters with 2 security guards, and he's like, really? She's like, yes. But I'm here because, you know, you want to talk to me about my new merchandise, right? He's like, no, girl. And then Nikki shows up, and she's like, I can't believe, blah, 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 blah. And they're going back and forth. And you can hear Brian in the back talking about, no, I wanted you to hear because blah, blah, blah. But you can't hear him because they're talking, and finally he snaps and he goes, enough, like really loud. I don't want to hurt your eardrum, so I can't do it that loud. And he's like, no, what I wanted to tell you was that you're going to have a match at Elimination Chamber. And then Natty storms off. There's one. Next week, John Cena will face Randy Orton. And Neville's there.
For the 2,827th time.
I mean, you know, maybe it's new to somebody. It's not. No, but it's possible. No, it's not. Okay, so your final match of the night is AJ versus Dean the Ambrose. The Miz is on commentary. They're calling AJ phenomenal. There's AJ Styles chants. There's Let's Go Ambrose chants. I don't know who you people are. That's okay. Ronaldo comes with the stats, and he calls Dean Ambrose a workhorse, and the only man in the WWE who worked over 200 matches last year. Boom. There's a kick to the chest from AJ. Miz thinks he's about to do yes kicks, and then he's talking about Daniel Bryan on commentary. Miz calls the kicks and drop kicks his moves, because Bryan doesn't wrestle anymore. Then Dean clotheslines AJ to the out. That's so shady.
Yeah, Miz is killing it on the commentary here.
He's so rude. And can you, like, he's from the real world. Like, can we talk about a glow up? Like, my God. He said he was going to do it, and he did it, and he's actually good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. It's amazing. But yeah, Dean clotheslines AJ to the outside, and then Baron comes out of nowhere. Oh, I shouldn't say out of nowhere because his music hits. But he is also at commentary. So they're not all talking, but there are 7 people at commentary. I still don't know why they have 4 people. It's a little too many. Corbin and Miz are going at it on commentary. Baron calls Miz a joke. And then Miz is like, oh, let me run down what I've done. And then it's like, you can do whatever you want, but Miz can never do what he has. And Miz is like, what the hell have you ever done? And Corbin says, you know, NFL, which only 1% of people in the world can say they've done. And Miz is like, that's cute. This isn't the NFL.
I thought he was going to clap back with, like, hey, you know what? Even 0.5% of the people have ever been on the real world, sir.
Boom. Roasted. Because it's true. That would they take, like, 7 people a year? That shit is hard to get into. Ambrose goes for a suicide dive, or as Moore would call it, a tope suicida. But AJ does what AJ does and hits him with a forearm. There's some counters being traded, and it leads to Dean hitting a release inside out suplex. Come on, words. Release inside out suplex for a near fall. AJ catches Dean with a fireman's carry into a neckbreaker for a 2 count. Then AJ hits a stop, a Pele kick. And then Ambrose comes back with the U-turn clothesline. My God, I hate that move. Then
he flexes. Favorite move.
If I could just, that needs to be a fucking drinking game, because he'll hit it at least twice a night. I hate that shit so much. But yeah, Dean tosses AJ outside, and then follows with a diving elbow drop. Baron gets tired of his mouth and gets up to confront him. Miz tries to run away into the ring after throwing the first punch. But Baron grabs him by the leg. It just so happens that Ambrose had AJ rolled up and would have won the match with a 3 count, but the referee was distracted. So Dean is pissed, and he hits Corbin with a dive. And then AJ catches Ambrose with a Styles Clash for the win. And then afterwards, the Miz gives Dean a skull-crushing finale. And then Corbin jumps up and gives the end of days to Miz and Ambrose. And AJ laughs from the ramp. And that is how your SmackDown ended this week.
Good show. Baron Corbin, good stuff in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Good main event. Tell me what you want about Dean Ambrose. He does, him and AJ Styles, I mean, basically at this point, AJ Styles could wrestle anybody and have like a fantastic match, but that was a really good TV main event.
Yeah.
So, what's your gummy bear rating?
I'll even give it an 8. It's really more of a 7, but I'll give it an 8.
Yeah. I thought it was very good. I was like, it goes by so fast. It's like, oh man, it's already like 9:40.
It does go quick. That's why I don't understand why they have 7 people. What do you need 7 people to talk about? What is it normally? It's like 4 people normally. 4 people for 2 hours for what? Like, no, you don't need
Well, I think that Phillips is more like the host. So he's kind of like the guy like who
intros and shit. Like,
yeah. So. That was our hashtag SmackDown match.
Yes.
So quick, we'll go 205 Live and the NXT. 205 Live, they announced that Rich Swann isn't able to compete tonight due to an injury. So Jack Gallagher will take his spot with Cesar Alexander versus Neville and Noam Dar. First match, Tony Nese versus Lince Dorado. Nese gets the win with the running knee. Nese, after the match, starts to give Dorado several German suplexes into the turnbuckle. And TJ Perkins comes down, gives him the detonation kick, and saves Lince Dorado. Then they show the events from Raw that led to Rick Swann getting hurt. Then they go to Rick Swann's interview where he's on crutches and his left ankle was in a boot. He says he hurt his ankle kicking the crown off Neville's head last night, and that that when he gets healthy again, you know, he's going to regain the championship. Neville comes in and says Swann needs to know his place, and then Neville pushes Swann off his crutches. We have the debut of Akira Tozawa versus Eric Solo. Eric Solo is notable because he's Bayley's boyfriend.
Ooh.
We have the Brian Kendrick on commentary. Akira Tozawa gets the win with a snap German suplex. After the match, Aries tries to interview Akira Tozawa, but of course there's a language barrier, and so it's just another like Austin Aries little comedy spot. Then we get our main event, Noam Dar and Neville versus Gallagher and Alexander. Noam Dar is trying to get a tag. Neville leaves him to fend for himself. Cedric Alexander gets the pinfall on Noam Dar after he does his backhand spring in Zaguri, followed that up with the lumbar check. And so Gallagher and Cedric Alexander are your winners of the NXT main event. So basically before the match, they had a backstage thing where Neville was like, I don't care about your, your love life. You got one chance to, you know, be my partner tonight, and you better not mess it up and leave your baggage in the locker room. So that's the reason why I guess Neville decided that Noam Dar did something wrong in a match and left him for dead. Then we moved to NXT for this week. It was just basically a review show, so I'm going to leave out most of the recaps, which is basically what this was, a bunch of backstage interviews after the NXT TakeOver events with guys doing promos after the matches. First match was Ember Moon versus Aaliyah. Ember Moon hits the Eclipse, the top rope, the stunner from the top rope, and gets the win. Then Sandy does her little promo on Todd Dillinger. Then Todd Dillinger does a promo about being in the Royal Rumble. Asuka does a friendly promo after TakeOver where they ask her about Ember Moon, and she asks, who is she? She's like, does she work here? Huh? Then we get an Ember Moon promo kind of answering Asuka where, you know, she says she'll know who I am soon enough. We get our UK champion, Tyler Bate, versus Orny Lorcan. Tyler Bate gets the win with the title drop for 97. Then they show post-match interviews by Roderick Strong, Austin Payne. And then they showed the footage of Nakamura leaving the ring as he's getting assisted by Triple H, Albert, and Cassius Ohno, a.k.a. Chris Hero. Then we get one more post-match interview, and that's with Bobby Roode after winning the championship. Then we get a really cool package of Corey Graves. They're basically going through his career in FCW and NXT and celebrating his graduation up to Monday Night Raw full-time. So they go back and show, you know, his old interviews and him working in the Performance Center. And then when he had to actually come out and announce that he was retiring and he was joining the NXT broadcasting booth full time and things like that. So it just kind of chronicles his rise from, you know, wrestler, wannabe wrestler, to having concussions and having to retire to now finding a second career as probably the best commentator they have in the company right now. Main event time. The Drifter, Elias Sampson, versus No Way Jose. No Way Jose gets the win with the pop-up baseball punch, and that is your NXT for this week. Coming next week, we'll have the glorious World Championship celebration as Bobby Roode will be in the building to celebrate his victory over Nakamura, so I can't wait to see that. It should be fantastic. And that was NXT for this week.
All right. Now, is there anything else?
I'm going to tell my guys who are big New Japan fans that I think Friday, starting tomorrow this weekend, they should be building up the stuff for the New Beginning cards. So if you have New Japan World, you guys check that out this weekend. They should have some new content coming up. And other than that, that's about it as far as more wrestling stuff goes.
All right. Shout outs. Why don't you kick us off?
Shout out to Mel, because Mel always deserves shout outs. Shout out to Sarom and Gordon. Gordon is talking to a Dominican. It's still a chance. The Christmas miracle didn't happen, but she could always come back. And then shout out to Sarom. Oh, Sarom, Gordon Bakerbone, and then three other of their comic friends are known as the Deceptive Comics, and they're going on tour. starting in March. They're starting in New York City, and then they're working their way south. So if you're a fan of us, you should definitely be a fan of theirs. So keep an eye out. They're funny, funny guys.
Yeah, all the people who listen to us in the Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina area, I'm going to the Chapel Hill show on the 11th. So you guys can get a chance to meet me if you're fans of the WrestleCast and talk wrestling and laugh at those guys all night.
Yeah, Gordon is a riot. They're all so funny. Saram is funny just standing there looking like, not even saying anything, he's funny. So it's a good show. It's a good show. Mike is funny, but Mike is fine too, ladies. So you should definitely go see him. And then Dylan is adorable. Go see him. And then John is a sweetheart. So definitely go support them. And then, because I've been to about 3 or 4 shows, so I clearly spend my money on them, so they're worth it. And then,
where's the new Bourbon Ball going to be? That's already sold out.
Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like in 3 days. It's like, really?
You need to come to Charlotte, man. They messing around.
His theory is, I think if it's like a 2 or 3 hour drive, then you can just go. But just tell him, tweet him, and he'll see what he can do, I guess. But yeah. I don't travel for them. I go to the ones in D.C. I sit my ass down. My friends went to the one in New Orleans. They had a ball, and I was hating every minute of what I saw on Snapchat. I was like, see, I'm just going to have fun in the chicken spot without me. That's nice. That's real nice. So, yeah. So travel if you can, but y'all got to be quick on them tickets. Like, it don't mean no games.
Never mind.
Huh?
I said, it sounds like you're starting to act like our friend, but cool. We're not going to talk about it. Never mind.
Oh, like if I can't get a free ticket, I won't go. Yeah. But anyway, shout out to, friends doing big things and things of that nature. Oh, so Ron was on JNXD show, and I met XD in real life, so I like his show. It be doing that good music, though. So definitely go listen to them. And then what else? Y'all still listening to the news slate? You should be. And then what else? Shout out to this maple pepper bacon that I had. It was life altering. Like, I need a pound of it. Like, just give me a pan of the maple pepper bacon and I will be on my way. That shit was amazing. So yeah, shout out to them. Oh, she's not gonna listen, but shout out to Miss Carlene. She's from California, but she came over here to visit, and she brought me an apple from her daughter's an orange from her daughter's orange tree. And I was like, oh, this is the sweetest thing. And it was a good orange too. So yeah, shout out to her, and then that's it.
All right, now Don, your turn.
Again, I'd like to give a shout out to everybody who participated over this past weekend and all the hashtags and the live tweets of the Royal Rumble and NXT and, of course, SmackDown Matters and Rawcast. Give a shout out to Arjarobi, a.k.a. Magnum Prime. Greg out there. Give a shout out to Classic. Shout out to Mel, to everybody out here on the network. Give a shout out to Joey and Chris over on Go Get Over. Hopefully I get to hang out with those guys next week. And just give a shout out to Seth Rollins and hope that he gets well and maybe there will be a WrestleMania miracle and he won't have to miss the show 2 years in a row.
All right. Let's see. My shout outs are going to be short this week. Shout out to the support. Shout out to the Creepcast. You got to put your thing on or something. There you go. That sounds better.
Nope. I don't even do anything.
Just mute.
There you go. Yeah, shout out to the Creepcast out there creeping. Doing their creeps.
We stay creeping.
Right. Shout out to you guys, of course, you too. Shout out to the CSPN Nation out there. And shout out to the Glow, of course. Shout out to Jay Estrella out there. And shout out to Lady Nikki on Twitter. And that's about it. We'll see y'all next week. Anything else?
Nope. Next week we'll be previewing Elimination Chamber.
Oh, God. 2 weeks. It's going to turn out again. All right, then. We will see you all next week.
Seth freaking Rollins. The man I plucked from obscurity and made a star, handed him the world. I sang his praises, and he became the first NXT champion. Ironic, isn't it? he would go on to be the leader of the Shield. And then I would make him an offer to be the best. And he bought in, and he bought in a big way. And standing by my side, Seth Rollins would become the man. Standing by my side, Seth Rollins would become the face of the WWE. Standing by my side, Seth freaking Rollins would become the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Standing by my side, Seth Rollins would get everything he ever wanted out of this business and more. And all he had to do, all Seth Rollins had to do, was hold up his end of the bargain. And he couldn't do it, could he? Nah. As soon as the pressure got to be too much, as soon as the pressure mounted, he collapsed under the weight of it. His leg gave way, and then he came in this ring, and he stood here with tears streaming down his face, and he stood and he held on the World Championship, and he handed it back, and he handed back everything that I had ever handed him on a silver friggin' platter, and he spit in my face. He spit in my face, and then he hobbled up that ramp into obscurity. And he thought he was just gonna come back here later, as if the world didn't turn without Seth Rollins. Only the world did turn. And 7 months later, when Seth Rollins stood in this ring without me by his side, Seth friggin' Rollins was an abject failure. Seth Rollins was a massive failure. And did he take any responsibility for that failure? No. That failure was blamed on me. I was the reason that Seth Rollins failed. I am supposed to apologize to Seth Rollins, but I don't feel like I owe Seth Rollins an apology. If anything, I am the one that is owed an apology. I gave you the world, Seth Rollins, and you spit in my face. You have any idea, all of you, any idea how hard it is for me, not to come to this ring when Seth Rollins stands out here and calls me out? Nah, I don't come out here because my wife asked me not to. And she's right, because it's what's best for business that I don't. Because I am trying, whether anybody wants to believe it or not, I am trying so hard not to be that guy anymore. I am trying so hard not to be that guy that ends careers and crushes dreams and injures people and doesn't give a crap about anybody or what anybody thinks. I am trying so hard not to be that guy anymore, to be something more. So every day I put on this suit. Every day I tie this stupid tie and I go to the office. And every day I try to put that behind me and I try to be a creator. I try to create something more for everybody here. And then a guy like Seth Rollins decides he wants to come to NXT. Seth Rollins wants to come where I am trying to create, where quite honestly, I am trying to create the next Seth friggin' Rollins. So I am done trying. I am so done trying. So here's the thing, Seth freaking Rollins. You don't have to worry about coming to my house, because I am standing right here, right now. You already know who your creator is. Well then, Seth Rollins, get your ass to this ring and meet your destroyer.
Triple H caught.